Because when you keep talking like that, it won't happen. Look, listen, just by the way, that's what they said, that Nigerian cannot do GSM, can't handle GSM. You know what we have done to GSM? You know what we have done to mobile telephone? We use the phone, so they, we use the phone, so they, those who refuse to invest, we're now begging to come in. At the beginning, they said, nah, lie, we're not fit. Then when they saw MTN using truck to carry money, both in Naira and in dollar, back to South Africa. Now, please, I hope you know what I'm saying. Don't use your mouth to add to the amount of negative forces in the atmosphere. Go and get this CD if you don't have it. Generating spiritual energy for the redemption of a nation. I taught it on radio then. Please go and get a CD. Are you getting my point? The more you see negative things, the more you pray and confess positive things. Do you get what I'm saying? The more you see things that are wrong, it's not time for you to say, this country is useless. No. It is time for you to start speaking. I'm making an issue here. Without you speaking thus, God won't do anything. No. Your children will be born into this trouble. Where will they go? Who wants to give birth for calamity to children that will live in calamity? Nobody. Listen. Yoruba man has a saying. If you want the ground to be cool in front, you pour water forward. So if you don't want children... Your children to be born struggling with NEPA failure, no water, school going on strike every so often. If you don't want it, it is now you will decide that it will not happen. Listen, if you want to be poor in life, plan to make enough money so as to send your children out of the trouble. That's how you won't make money. There's a reward for everything. When you say, I leave this country, I will become so rich, my children won't go to school. Because they're fine. That boy, make sure he does it. He will just have enough money, just enough money for the child to go to public secondary school, public university, that he's not going anywhere. But when you're struggling and praying and doing what you can so that everybody can have good education, God will give you so much money that your children can go to school anywhere that you want. That's how spiritual things work. Do you get the point? Did you get my point?
Yes.
All right, the Lord is good. So what are we doing today? For the time that we have left, we are going to pray for the country. Alright, let's open our Bibles. We'll read this one and then we'll begin to pray. So that you see this is a commandment from God. This is how James said it. Paul. 1 Timothy chapter 2. He said, first of all then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. One, for kings and all who are in authority. He said, this is the end of it. In order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. He said, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. A number of points here, there. One, we pray for kings and all those who are in authority. Very importantly, I'm bringing that out from there. And if we do that, we'll be able to lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Now, some will say that if the kings do well, we'll be able to live a quiet and tranquil life, and that will be correct. But there's another spiritual application to it. If you pray your prayers, God will bless you with a quiet and tranquil life in all godliness. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? That's one scripture. Again, Jeremiah chapter 29. Quickly open your Bible to that one also. Jeremiah 29 is one that we know very well. We quote it halfway all the time. Let me start from the halfway that we quote it. It said in verse 11, for I know the plans I have towards you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Now, we say that all the time, and we quote it, and we're always very happy. But actually, it did not start from there. Where it started from is around verse 4. It's before that, but let's start from verse 4. He said, thus says the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, to all the exiles I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and become fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and daughters, and all of that, and all of that. And verse 7 says, and seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will do what? He said, in his welfare, you will have welfare. That's New American Standard. If you read another Bible saying, in his prosperity, you will prosper. When it has, when the nation has, when that city has peace, then you will have peace. This point I'm making. Christians also, we often preach this gospel. We preach, it say that darkness will be out in the world, but we'll be living in the light. Do you understand my point? That we are not of this world, so our economy is from heaven. So the whole world can be suffering. It will not affect us at all. There's truth to it, but it's only half truth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's a lot of truth to that. The Bible says that young lions can suffer hunger and all of that, but those that seek the Lord will not lack anything good. Are you getting my point? However, when God was going to punish Israel, he told Jeremiah, don't ask for anything great for yourself. The only thing I'm going to give you is your life as booty. You will lose your house. You lose your businesses. You lose your investment. The only thing you will leave this place with is what? Your life. You see, I will give you your life as a booty. That is, that's the only thing you will take captive. And that was the prophet of God who was walking in righteousness. Are you getting what I'm saying? The reason why God makes sure that things around touches us is because without that, we won't pray effectively. He said, we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That is what you are touched by, you can be a high priest concerning. Are you following my point? Therefore, if there are too many calamities in the nation, it will touch you. Listen. It will. Let me tell you. You pray extra now about kidnapping, don't you? Yes. What I mean is that too, that your people won't be kidnapped. If there's no kidnapping, at least you save some time on prayer on praying about kidnapping. Haven't you? And if a distant relative is kidnapped, it will affect you. You will contribute. The whole family will contribute. Don't be so. That's what we are saying. So when you are praying prayers, don't just think like, I'm a child of God. No, listen, we know you are a child of God. But what God does is that he ensures that you feel a bit of what's going on so that you can pray effectively. So he said concerning the nation of Israel, he said, I'm taking you into a particular land. Pray for the welfare of that city. Are you getting my point? Is a divine commandment. If you do that, you will also prosper. And I said there are two sides to it. One, if you pray and God answers and everybody is moving smoothly, it will affect you. But there's a second side to it. If you pray your own prayer, are you getting my point? You do your own duties and you've done everything that God said you should do. Yet, for certain reasons, because there are times it happens like that. That's what God told Jeremiah. He said, it's enough prayer, that the way things are bad right now, even if Samuel and Moses were to pray for these people, I still won't hear. However, because Jeremiah had offered his prayer, he had delivered himself from judgment to come. Do you understand the logic? Do you understand the logic? Let me summarize it like this. If you don't pray, good Lord Jonathan won't do well. Amen? As a matter of fact. If you don't, the economy won't do well. Power will not become constant. But don't think that all the thoughts going on in your head, all right, is not going on in the heads of certain people who are in power. They are going on. But the ability to bring them forth into reality is dependent on the amount of power you put into the air to break down the power of darkness. Are you following my point? And to release the goodness of God into the nation. It's important. I hope you got my point. I've talked plenty, haven't I? Therefore, let's begin to pray. All right, let's rise to our feet. We start from 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's rise to our feet. Open your Bibles there. Well, you don't have to. I'll just read it out to you. First of all, the Bible says, it said, prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all those who are in authority. I want us to begin to do something first of all. I told you before, we're going to pray for this country. After that, we're going to pray against some wicked people. Did you hear what I said? I don't know, some stories I've heard there. Some states around here are held in the bondage of wickedness. But we won't mention names, it's not important. But you are going to do something, all right, as we go on. You are going to actually, literally, we'll bring out a few scriptures. Pray for the deliverance of some states, some communities, including our nation also. And you'll see what I'm saying in a moment. I said something to us last time, men are very wicked. Are you getting my point? They are very wicked. And until you learn to use some dangerous prayers to release people out of wickedness, if I say this, make you laugh. Well, no, it make you worry about the kind of human being that I am. There are people that are so wicked. The only way God delivers people from their wickedness is by beheading. That is, God will behead the wicked man that his captives may go free. what I'm telling is very important. Anyway, we'll see some of those things just now. First of all, let's begin to pray. First of all, let's begin to give God thanks. Listen, let me tell you. No, you are praying. I'm just talking my own talk to guide us as we pray on. First of all, let's start to give God thanks, all right? Nigeria was created by the Lord for a particular purpose. Yes, just say, Father, we thank you. Because you have brought us to this level. There's nothing that's happening in this country that took the Lord by surprise. Nothing, nothing, nothing at all. He knew it was going to happen, and you'll be amazed at what he's doing, guiding this nation into the destiny that he has proposed for it. I like the testimonies of people like Elton. I heard them a long time ago. I like the testimony of people like Rehan Bonnke. They said that this nation, Rehan Bonnke said Nigeria is a trigger, that Africa is shaped like a gun, that Nigeria is located in that trigger point. That the destiny of God for Africa as a nation, as a continent, and the people therein is dependent upon the release in Nigeria. So we are divinely ordained, as a matter of fact. Therefore, let's give the Lord thanks. He has been upholding us. He has been upholding us. That we are here today, unbroken. It's because of the goodness of God. Thank God for all the events that have been going on in this nation. Thank God that you were born in this country. Thank God because he has made you what you are. Not first as a citizen of this nation and as a resident therein. Let us thank you. Say, Father, we thank you. Because we know that you are working. That by faith we understand that the worlds, the nations were framed by the word of God. So that the nation Nigeria that we see now was not made out of people's imaginations. People will tell you that no, it's not a nation by God. It was Lord Lugard that created it. It's not true. Because the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And whatever decisions that were made concerning the creation of this nation is according to God's order. Therefore, thank God for that. Recognize that and stop uttering the nonsense people often make us utter. That the northern man, the eastern man, the southern man, they are different people. No, it's not true. If you go to America, there are all kinds of people there. They are the strongest nation on the earth today. Therefore, thank God for what we are right now. As you are praying, don't forget. You are sowing seeds into the realm of the spirit. You are giving the prayer. It's not only when you ask for things that God blesses you. When you do that which he commands, you receive your blessing also. So let's continue to give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you for this nation. We thank you for this nation. We thank you for all the events that have happened up to this point. We thank you for the life of the immediate past president who died last week. We thank you for his life. We thank you both in his life and in his death, you are working out your purpose. We thank you. Thank you for the life of the current president, Goodluck Jonathan. Say, Lord, we thank you because you brought him to this level. His life has been, the story of his life has been told again and again. It's a reason to give thanks. He didn't work to become a governor, he became a governor. He did not even work to become a vice president, he became one. And then without trying anything, he became a president. So thank God for his life. Bible said you should do come forth praying for these people first with thanksgiving. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, indeed, you reign in this country. Say that, Lord, we thank you because the times and seasons are in your hands. You make kings and you remove kings. Sickness did not remove the last president. God did. I want you to understand that. Sickness did not remove the last president. God did. It is God that set a time limit for his stay. Therefore, thank him that he is working in this nation still. Let's just acknowledge him. Because I want us to know. Listen, friend, just listen. I want us to give thanks for this country again. It's very important. I was making a few statements. The Bible makes it very clear. Daniel was explaining. He said, God that raises kings and removes kings. He changes times and seasons. He makes the lowest man, the lowliest of all men, he makes them the rulers in the affairs of men. God is the one in charge. Our last president was not removed by sickness. It was God that removed him. That's a matter of fact. Babangida left when he left, not because he wanted to leave, but because God said it is time to go. When Abacha said that we stay, God said, stay where? He woke up one morning and found out he was dead. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's a matter of fact. People can tell you that he chopped apple. It was coconut he chopped. He was sick. Whatever it is, God works in different ways. God said, this time, this man is gone. And to let you know, it's a matter of fact. That time, Diya and Co had been condemned to death, if you remember that. And Tunde Bakare said, if they are not dead by this particular day, they will be saved by an overnight miracle. That was what Tunde Bakare said. He said, you know, he doesn't say his things in secret. He said it openly. He said, this particular day, if these men are not dead by this particular day, then they will be saved by an overnight miracle. And one night they woke up and discovered that the other guy was dead. Are you getting my point? It's a matter of fact, God is orchestrating the events of this earth. You know, of this nation. You now say, okay, how come things are not happening? Listen, you're not the only man in Nigeria. There are a lot of wicked souls. And you too, you were wicked until you repented recently. Amen? So there's a lot of judgment that we are emitting into the air, or we emitted. There's what the Bible calls salt of the earth. Were it not for you and for me, this country will have continued to go down until you have gone down into the dust, as a matter of fact. But because we gather like this to pray, because the Bible says, when those that fear the Lord spoke to one another, the Lord heard it. Are you getting my point? Because in the fear of God, we speak to one another. Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. That is, we are the reason why the nation will not be destroyed. So when God was going to Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, count for me 50 people. If I find them there, I won't destroy the land. Abraham prayed until they came down to 10. And God said, if I find 10, I won't destroy the land. And Oswald Chambers said that it's the restricting power of God that made Abraham not go below 10. Not because he was afraid, but because something inside him understood that if he had asked for 5, God would have had to refuse. If he had asked for 9, God would have had to refuse. Oswald Chambers explained that 10 was a critical mass that God needed. And I say that God was demonstrating to Abraham that I have come down to destroy the land because they are not even up to 10 people. And it's not as if Abraham was making any discovery. God was doing something, was demonstrating to Abraham his righteousness. I'm reading an issue here. If the 10 people had been found, are you getting my point? They would have called the salt of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because of them, God would not have come down to destroy the land. What am I saying? The reason why this land has not been destroyed is because of you and me. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yes, indeed, Nigeria has righteous people therein. But because of the amount of wickedness, because see, there are different kinds of atonement. All right? The blood of Jesus atoned for all our iniquities. But sometimes the iniquity of a land, all right, there are things that God does so as to wipe them away. I know what I'm saying. I don't have time to explain it. All right? So I'm bringing an issue here. It is not as if God doesn't know what he's doing. He's actually working. Everything that is going on is to bring us up to a particular level. He said, when I want to punish the Egyptian, I give him into the hand of a cruel ruler. One of the reasons why we have had stupid rulers, you know, they think, and their states that still have it, they should stop shouting only about the governor of those states. They should shout about themselves first. Then when you have shouted about yourselves and prayed for mercy upon the land, then God will behead one or two people. Everybody else will behead. Are you following what I'm trying to explain? And it's a matter of fact. Alright? I'm just now to explain something that God is working. Did I hear an amen? God is working in the land. Did I hear an amen? Indeed, he is working. Don't think that things are just going bad. They would have been worse were it not that God is working. They would have been worse were it not. People say that there are too many churches. I say, remove them, you understand. Remove them. He said, too many churches. The country is still bad. I said, it is still good because of those churches. Although there are many churches that are making it worse, but you know, but there are some good ones. And there are plenty. And just by the way, don't worry about the many churches. Don't worry. Alright? You know one thing that's sure? That's the first place God can preach when he wants to tell the truth. Whether you like it or not. Look, nobody's going to invite Pastor Banky to the central mosque in Abuja to come and preach. Are you getting what I'm saying? But a wicked soul can start a church. He would invite me. So they are good. Alright? The point I'm just making is that, look, because of the so-called many churches, God is preserving the land. Are you getting my point? Why did I explain all this? So that when you are giving thanks, I'll give you only a few minutes to give thanks once more, you will know that indeed God is working in the land. You will know that what? Indeed God is working in the land. And indeed God said, why am I doing all this? Because I know the thoughts I have towards you. They are thoughts for good and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. To make sure that your children are not born for calamity. Let's give God thanks. Say, Father, I thank you. Because indeed you are working. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because you have the one changing season. No man has the power. By the time Abangida left, he was not planning to leave. That's a matter of fact. I don't have to tell you that when Abacha left, he was not planning to leave. And neither do I need to tell you that nobody has left that office now because he wanted to leave. It's because God says it's time, go. Sometimes he says it's 4 years, go. It's 8 years, time to go. And for the last man, he says 3 years, out of the place. So let's give him a name. Say, Father, I know we are walking in the land. We give you thanks, we give you praise. Because indeed you are walking in the land. Blessed be your most holy name. You know, we talk about praise the other time. So let's praise God. Say, God, you are the most high over this nation. You are the most high God. PDP is not God. God is the most high God. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the most high God. Every morning, the Muslims wake up and say, Allah is the greatest. It is not true. Allah is not the greatest. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the greatest. Any God that does not know Jesus as his son is not the true God. Please, before you go, and I want you to do something with me. Amen. Please, can you give me a second? You know, Nigeria is an interesting country. And I believe it's one of those watershed nations that God will use to prove certain issues. Everywhere, all over the nation, Muslims will bring speakers out. 5 p.m., they will declare to us that Allah is the greatest. Hear ye the word of the Lord. It's not true. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, Allah is not the greatest. It's not the greatest. There are different kinds of God, kinds of gods. There is God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you claim that Allah doesn't have a son, then he's not the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he can't be the greatest. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, in Nigeria, Muslims have an attitude. They are like that all over the world. They have this, you know, superior mentality. That they are better than everybody else. It's a small deal. Don't worry. Don't worry. Let me give you the word of the Lord. I heard this some years ago. There's a prophet many years ago, God spoke to. He said, three things I'm bringing and to an end on this earth. He said, number one is communism. Communism has gone. You know that. Number two on the line is what? Islam. Number three, he said, is witchcraft. I have my interpretation for witchcraft. Incidentally, the witchcraft is not juju in Africa. It's not Haitian voodoo. Are you getting my point? You know what it is? It's church. Some crazy behaviors that we have that we call Christianity. That's what witchcraft is. I won't give you details. There are powerful denominations. God, you're looking. All these witches and wizards. Because I'm bringing all of them to what? An end. So, Allah is not the greatest. You know who the greatest is? God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what is praise? Say, praise looks good on you. Praise is comely on the saints. What is praise? When you call God by his proper name. Therefore, let us declare. That's why I said you should pause. Let's do this. Let's declare right now. All of us begin to say, God, you are the greatest. In this nation, you are the greatest. Very simple. You say, God, the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, you are the greatest. Say, Lord, you are the greatest. Say, the kingdoms of this world, they have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. Say, Lord, you are the greatest. You reign above all in this nation. We declare it. We declare it. We declare it. That indeed you reign. Listen to this again. Listen to this again. You know, have you ever heard of one of these words, cult? Cult. Somebody's in a cult. This is a matter of fact. There are cults that think they rule this country. I'm not joking about that. You know, our former president that time, Obasanjo, won the Tinubu carry. This was not somebody told me. I heard it on television. He said, the man said he's born again. Which kind of born again is that? He said, let him come and tell me that he's not a member of Ogboni, and I promise all of you I will never preach again. Whether he's lying or not, it's not the issue. Let him just say it. No, you know, Tunde Bakari, you know, there's one prophet in Nigeria, is that guy. When he's doing Save Nigeria Today, you know, don't worry, that's not prophetic office, that's rascally office, you know, born a rascal, so don't worry about that, all right? Okay, no vex, no beside the abuse, just talk my own, all right? What I'm saying is that it's his natural behavior. You know what I mean? You know, some guys who are just tough, they like to quarrel, box people. Don't worry about that. But that the man is not the prophet, let nobody deceive you, he is. You know what I said? And one of the proofs that the man is a prophet is that there's no government in Nigeria that started preaching, he hasn't spoken, and they can't do him anything. One day, they arrested the man, SSS. After quizzing him the whole day, into the night, finally the SS man said, okay, man of God, I'm going to sleep, I'm leaving. In the back, I said, sleep. If you find sleep, I'm not a man of God. Sleep. Go and sleep now. Go to the bed, go and lie down. So if you find sleep, I am not a man of God. Maybe you call me pastor just now. Okay, good. Go home now. Go and lie down. If sleep comes to your eyes, then know that I'm not caught by God. No, look. When Obasanjo was president, this man will preach on TV. And even me, I will be afraid. Me, where I'll not be the one to the preacher. And if you go and check, you hear that the vision that Isaiah saw, or Haggai saw, in the days of, they begin to name the kings. 1, 2, 3, 4. That is this prophet. They always outlast the kings. Don't worry. They always outlast the kings. That's how you know them. The man is a true prophet. I believe him. I'm making an issue here. And the man made that statement that time. He said, this man tells me he's not a member of a community, you forget it. Let him come and say it publicly now. Listen, there are people in this our country that think indeed they control people. They control the nation. They think so. They really are not in control. But that's what they think because God gave them power for a long time. And listen, God always does something after a while. When he has given you power for a while, he will judge you terribly. And he does that. He said, Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, don't worry. They will do this, then I will now return. I will now pour my judgment upon them. Usually when the time to favor the people of God comes, God begins to pour judgment upon those who thought they were in power. Someone was telling me about a neighboring state somewhere around here that the state is ruled by court people, that they share the money before it arrives. If you are from that state, you need to do something this evening. We're all from Nigeria, we'll do something. We'll call God again and say, Lord, you are the greatest. No court in Nigeria is the greatest. A very simple prayer, is it not? Yeah, and as you are declaring, let me just say something. As you are until you say it, they will reign. Do you get my point? So let's begin to pray for our country again. Say, let's declare. Say, Lord, you are the greatest. Declare, say, you are the greatest one. You are the most high. You are above every court, every God, every other God. He said, the kingdom of this nation is the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. We declare in the name of Jesus Christ that this kingdom is the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And we say he will reign forever and ever. Listen to this. I want you to pray this prayer. David taught us to pray like this. He said, break the arm of the wicked and the evildoer. Seek out his wickedness until thou dost find none. He said, the Lord is king forever and ever. Nations have perished from his hand, from his land. I want to understand that. This was David teaching us to pray. He was speaking. He said, arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thy hand. That's in Psalm 10. Do not forget the afflicted. Why have the wicked spurned God? He has said to himself, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast not seen it. He said, thou hast seen it, for thou hast beheld mischief and vexation to take it into thy hand. The unfortunate commits himself to thee. Thou hast been the helper of the orphan. In verse 15, he says, break the arm of the wicked and the evildoer. Seek out his wickedness until thou find none. He said, the Lord is king forever and ever. Nations have perished from his land. I want to do something. Because we talk about the power of wicked people. It's a very simple prayer, you know. You can pray in tongues if you like, it is fine. But this is very simple. There are men who like to hold us in bondage. You know, there are those who don't want power to work because they are sending generator. That people that God called the wicked. You want that to come to an end, it's very simple. Let us pray the prayer. Open your Bible there so you can use it. I will give you about 2 minutes to pray that prayer. Psalm 10. It's just verse 15 and verse 16. You read it, say, break the arm of the wicked and the evildoer. Anywhere where men have gathered to hold a whole state in bondage, a whole local government, a whole nation,